Good evening. And welcome to our regular scheduled meeting for Monday, April 9th. It's a little after 7 o'clock. If I can ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Corsini.
Here.
Trustee Cargi.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Conti.
Here.
Trustee Hennig.
Here.
Trustee Gibbs.
Play ball.
President Adusi.
I am here. Okay, if I can ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. So Maureen, I know you're up here. What, if you don't mind, maybe perhaps you could wait when we get to item eight, when we can talk. Okay, very good. Other than that, there is no other comment, so we'll just move ahead with our elected official comments and announcements. Maybe we'll start with Mike.
Good evening, everybody. Contrary to the temperature outside, spring will someday be here. I'm hoping that, and I say this every year, so it shouldn't come as a surprise to everybody, I'm hoping that the village could make a concerted effort to verify that the tradesmen in town that are now descending on the village in the form of contractors and landscape people and all that, that we, you know, make the effort to make sure that the licensing and permits and all the insurance and everything is in order. For me, it's not so much about the fees for the village. It's about the citizenry having the knowledge that, that they're covered. If something happens on their property, that you know, those delinquent contractors wouldn't be coming after them, that everything's in order. So that's that. And I just wanted to congratulate Chief O'Shea on his wedge leadership appointment. And that's it.
Very good. And as duly noted, by the way, Mike, on the, because we talked about kind of how do you enforce some of the things that you bring up. And of course, there's others that want us to check out, you know, those that actually are supposed to be state required as well.
Right.
And we don't know that at this point. So I know Eric, you know, has to create a good process at the front desk and other places to make sure that we're enforcing all of our, both our local and state laws.
Well, so it's just, it's double jeopardy for the people that do it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Their fees are higher, their insurance fees, everything that they do properly.
Right.
Now we're rewarding the people that don't do it properly by not living up to our responsibilities, and that's to enforce our village ordinances. So anyway, if our crew, I don't know if it's something that the police would want to play in, but we have a printed list of who has licenses, and there's a van parked in front. I don't think it's too much to ask that a village employee sees the tradesman's number or name and sees if he's on the list. If he's not, you know, then we act on it. So anyway,
we are involved in that every year with the list that's supplied by Carol, and then we work off that list, not only the community service officer, but the crime prevention officer, but also the cars. And there's certain beats have those lists, and they see a work truck that is not on the current list. And sometimes there are ones that were on there last year and they didn't have a chance, and the officer has a great opportunity to remind them to immediately get over to Village Hall. But we do work in concert also with Tim Backlaw, who works for Lisa, and making sure to take care of that, especially as you mentioned, the season's here.
Right, right. And spring is the busiest for the landscapers with the cleanups.
Yep.
So,
Trustee Gibbs, if I could also mention that we do put that list of licensed contractors online, so residents can also verify when they hire a contractor that their license is current with the village. And if there's any questions about the online listing, they're welcome to call our office and ask.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, Patty.
All right. Good evening to everyone. I also would like to congratulate Chief O'Shea on his new position with Wedge. Trustee Cargi and I attended the Sustainability Commission event at the library on Sunday, which was very well done. And I think they had a fairly good turnout of people. So I would like to compliment the commission for all the work that they've been doing and not only pulling off that event, but all the other things that they have planned. What they did is they, you know, everyone was there and they were able to introduce themselves to the community members who were there and talk about how they got involved in the commission and what each of them are focusing on in terms of areas of sustainability. And so they did a nice job, and hopefully with more events, more outreach, and continuing to, you know, have better education on some of these efforts so the residents know what we're doing. They're doing a lot of good stuff. So and then the other is just hopeful that we have a good turnout on Wednesday for the visioning workshop.
Yeah,
so,
thank you.
And that's it.
Good shout out. Hi, welcome everybody. My spring day we have today. last week, Carmela and I attended the Lake Park work group with Bob O'Connell and our administrator and Jennifer Tamman, and just discussing, continuing to discuss the Lake Park proposals, and we're hoping that it's on schedule and that we'll have something to present to the board, I think, by the end of May, something along those lines. And so we're hopeful that that project is still going forward, and working hard to make that happen. Chief, congratulations to you. Deputy Chief, congratulations to you. I wasn't here for your appointment, so very happy about that. And recycling extravaganza. It was happening April 22nd. We got the memo that they're going to be accepting electronics. I was really excited to hear that. So it's on my calendar, hopefully. It's all on your student.
That's it. I think it's the 21st.
It is the 21st.
Oh, sorry. I think the email said the 22nd.
I'm one email. Oh, wrong. 21st. Yeah, I had to like double check. I'm like, I got wrong. 21st.
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay.
Ditto. Chief O'Shea and the Crane, congratulations on the bridge. Just another update regarding the Imagine OPRF. For those of you who did attend, and I know a couple of trustees did attend the last community meeting on February the 27th, there's going to be the next one, the second community meeting coming up on April the 16th at 7 p.m. In addition, on Saturday, on April the 14th at 10 a.m., and then on April the 16th at 5:45 p.m., there are going to be tours, about an hour, just to show you some of the highlights, and we put that in quotes, of what improvements the high school needs. But on the community meeting on the 16th, there are going to be now alternate options of designs of what's going to be going up as proposals. So I encourage to those who can, and maybe those of us, if we are going to have a town meeting, we'll be here. But for the people who are listening, there are going to be options to go and look at and provide your feedback of what is going to be the next step in terms of what these options are. Also, in addition, is to get additional ideas from people before the next community meeting, which is coming up in May, to try to fine-tune what those designs are going to be based on now community input as well. So it's definitely going to be interesting, and I'm also going to try to encourage the high school to post whatever designs are going to be proposed. So if people cannot attend the community meeting coming up, they'll be able to provide whatever input they can online or some other source. So that's it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Those are very important meetings. I do hope the community will attend them.
Chief, congratulations. As Patty said, we went to the Sustainability Committee meeting yesterday, and I should note that they're very complimentary of John Anderson for all the work that he's done with the commission. And I noted that they're an incredible resource. I mean, I learned yesterday, I didn't know it before, that it's actually a better thing to recycle your cardboard rather than compost it, because cardboard is profitable for the recyclers, and they'll keep them in business. So it's an incredible resource that all the residents should use. Every member of that commission is ready, willing, and able to talk to you for hours about whatever subject matter it is that you're interested in, and they really do know their stuff. I mean, it's incredible that these people who are volunteers devote that much of their own time and intelligence to these subjects to help us all. So I thought it was a very informative and well put together presentation. We also had the collaborative committee meeting last month. We sent, Jonathan sent you guys a wireframe, Jonathan, basically the rough draft of the calendar. If you have any input, any issues, anything, I mean, this is a rough draft, so obviously there'll be something down the road that'll be better to look at. But any issues or any complaints or any things you think are missing, please talk to Jonathan or I so that we can relay that back to the committee. We're still working. We're still meeting with the web designer, so there's still stuff to do.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good evening and welcome to everyone. And Chief, again, congratulations. I also wanted to remind everyone, especially our newer elected officials and also our commissioners, that the Cook County ethics statements are due, so you need to make sure that you get those done so you don't get fined. They need to be completed by May 1st. And there have been people that have somehow forgotten to do that, and it's not fun to get those fines. And happy that the recycling extravaganza is now going to accept electronics for River Forest residents, and that's important because that's going to be paid for through our garbage haulers. So they will be asking for residency information for that portion of it. And I also, just now that we have a couple of historic preservation, we have a commissioner here and an avid attendee of the commission meetings. I saw an article in, I think it was Wednesday Journal, maybe, not too long ago, that just talked about how there's a lot of activity on in the real estate market in River Forest that talks about advertising homes that are potential teardowns or, you know, possible lot buildings, you know, building on additional lots and things of that nature. So I just, part of that disturbed me just a little bit is, you know, how are our local realtors kind of selling our town? And, you know, I don't know if there's any conversations that we can have, maybe just, I know, touch back with them after we passed our ordinance, just to see, you know, if there's something we can do to sort of, I would hate to encourage a lot of teardowns, but to mitigate that type of, you know, I don't know how you can advertise it differently, but it was just something that was striking to me. So, well, I don't know if there's something
on that note. I believe the commission, if I'm incorrect here, Al, but talked about the bringing in realtors and you know, discussing the, you know, the beauty of the homes, and, you know, especially those that are on up for sale, and encouraging them to find people that would restore the home versus, you know, destroy the home.
I see a number of problems. For example, one thing that disturbed me is, for those of you who get the...
Al, do you mind, because if somebody's listening, they can't hear. Can you go to the podium?
No,
I know. But I've asked you.
One thing that did disturb me, those of you who get the Wall Street Journal as I do, Coldwell Bankers had, I think it was Coldwell Bankers, had, was it? Yes, I said yes. Had a very colorful, beautiful brochure of homes throughout the Chicagoland area. And they were homes that looked very similar to some of the homes we have here in River Forest.
Yeah.
And they didn't feature any homes from River Forest. Mm-hmm. They did feature, and only one home from Oak Park. So that shocked me, because we certainly have some homes that could compete with Hinsdale and other places. So I got a feeling we're dropping the ball. Now, I'm not in real estate, but I can't help but believe we got to do a better job. Also, I don't know if the Board of Trustees is aware of this, but the Historical Preservation Commission has put together three programs, one of which is on YouTube now. Mm-hmm. And Jonathan is worth his weight in gold. He's taken a program which I thought was pretty good, and he's given it that professional sheen, and it's very much appreciated. In fact, so much appreciated, I wanted him to get a slide to put his name on it and to put technical advisor or whatever. And he said, no. In his modest way, he says, no, I don't think I should do that.
Yeah.
That's part of my job. So anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to create problems. But he deserves recognition for that. But anyway, one purpose for this, and by the way, the program, do you have time?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Okay, I'll make it quick. The There have been people who've gone through River Forest with a video camera, and they've gone from the car, and they've, oh, this is this, and this is, and they've, you know, it's been very superficial, very amateurish, and not very good. So what we tried to do was to highlight certain homes and talk about the history of the owners, if we knew it, the architect, the architectural style, and so on. And the idea is to put River Forest on the map. We're more than a stepsister of Oak Park.
Right.
We have our own individual identity.
Right.
And we hope that this, there's one on YouTube, and there are two more coming, but we're hoping that that will help in that effort.
Yeah.
And maybe it will do something. But obviously, we've got to do more.
Right.
But that's where we're at right now.
Well, thank you, and we will work on doing more.
Thank you.
So thanks, Al. Good point.
I wanted to draw attention to that, and yeah. Sometimes after we institute a ordinance or a program, maybe we just need some time to touch back with our community members and just see, what's out there and how we can sort of collaborate together to sell River Forest in a way that is healthy for us. So talk about sustainability. We want to make sure that we're sustaining our beautiful housing stock. So that's all I have.
Helps our property values, that's for sure. Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah, good points. So I just have a few. On September 19th, I did, in an informal way, host a roundabout a conversation with some River Forest residents and regarding crime in our community. And Chief O'Shea was there. Deputy Chief was there. Officer Cernick was there. And then Fred Arkin and two of his administrators were there. So it was not very big. I think maybe 20 of us in total. And I think everybody walked away feeling like the officers and 200, they learned a lot about 200. That's was part of the issue, is they didn't have much understanding of the type of safety requirements and the safety that they actually do at 200. The safety methods and the processes that they have, and how they, will continue to work with our department as well as, of course, Oak Park Police Department. So I thought in all it went very well. In following up with some of the ladies that were in the room, they felt that, they got a lot out of it. So again, it was a very informal, but hopefully they'll come to their next crime prevention meeting, which is the 25th here in this room at 6 o'clock, right? Jim, I got that right. And so, again, if anybody's listening, please make sure you come to that meeting. They're there for all of our residents to speak to our police department and help them as well. Let's see. Also, I had the pleasure of speaking to third and fourth graders this past April 4th. It was their local unit of their unit, I guess, in school for local government. And so it was a pleasure talking with those little kids. You'd be surprised just how much they understand about what's going on, not only locally, but certainly nationally. And that's it. Just in sake of not being too redundant, I want to also congratulate Chief O'Shea on being the chair of WEDGE. That's an fairly important, I think, organization to be chair of, because it is a collaboration of all these wonderful communities that surround us, and it's about mutual support. So if we need help, through REG, they get the support from the other communities. So it's an important piece of our, puzzle as we prevent crime in our communities. And that's it.
Can I just ask quickly, since you brought up the next community meeting, crime community meeting?
April 25th.
Is there any thought about perhaps moving the location? Just the last one was so well attended and people kind of in the aisles and all over. I don't know if we would expect the same kind of turnout or.
Our crime prevention officer, Glenn Cernick, has been sort of weighing some of the feedback and recommendations. He felt that this time maybe we weren't going to get based on current trends that were going on, and the big concern, as you remember that night, was the carjacking situation. So we're still monitoring that, and if it looks like he starts getting some additional groups or some groups from some of the condo associations that are going to attend, we will have to make a location change, but that is definitely something on our minds after we had everyone wrapped around this room.
Just reconfigure the room.
I'm sure you're going to make that decision earlier than later, okay, because we don't want confusion. Yep.
Yeah, just one quick thing. If, board members, as we plan our schedule for the summer, if you could let me know about any vacations that you have planned at all. Ultimately, we condense our summer schedule to typically about one meeting a month. And then July 9th is a regularly scheduled board meeting. We are planning, we have tentatively set the public hearing for the TIF district that night for North Avenue. So we're obviously planning everything ahead. So if things move in the right fashion, that's when we would have that public hearing. That being said, before we start locking things in, I want to make sure people are not out of town and things like that. So July.
So you want for sure July 9th?
Yes, I would like July 9th. But if, of course, everyone's in.
Okay.
Thailand.
Any conflicts with July 9th with anybody right now?
Okay. Well, if not tonight, but just to let
me
know.
But at least that one's good. So, yeah if you send Eric your summer schedule, that would be great. And we'll, okay. Very good. So that concludes our elected officials and comments and announcements. We'll go ahead on the public hearing for the fiscal 2019 village operating budget.
Yep. One second. Back to me.
Back to you.
All right. I would ask the village president to call the meeting, call to order the public hearing for the fiscal year 2019 operating and capital budget.
Okay. I thought I did that, but I'll do it again.
Okay.
I'd like to call the public hearing meeting to order for to discuss the 2019 village operating budget.
Thank you. Pursuant to 65 ILCS 5/8-2-9.9, under state law, the village is required to hold a public hearing on its annual budget prior to adoption. We have made the tentative budget available for inspection, and notice of this public hearing was posted in the Wednesday Journal. The draft budget is available online as well for review. We had our meeting tonight at the Committee of the Whole to discuss the budget. And answer any questions for the trustees at that time. If anyone from the public this evening wishes to make formal comment to the Board of Trustees, this would be the time to do so. You can come to the podium, state your name, and make any comment or address any question you might have. Provided at the conclusion of the public hearing tonight, we will then present the budget on April 23rd at your next regular scheduled meeting for approval.
Are there any public comments? Hearing none, move forward.
Close the
meeting.
So 7:29.
Okay. We're officially closing the public hearing for the fiscal 2019 village operating budget at 7:29. Okay. Let's move ahead to our sixth item, and that's the consent agenda. So if I can have a trustee to.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda in its entirety.
Okay, A through M, very good, thank you. Second. Okay, any, no comments, no questions. Hearing none, let's go ahead and read it out loud, and we'll take the vote afterwards.
Consent agenda: A, regular village board meeting minutes, March 12th, 2018. B, executive session meeting minutes, March 12th, 2018. C, amend Title IX of the Village Code, removal of ADA parking space on Lathrop Avenue ordinance. D, Chicago Avenue resurfacing project, local public agency agreement for federal participation and resolution for improvement for use of motor fuel tax funds resolution. E, amend Title V of the Village to create a new section relative to personal wireless telecommunications facilities and public rights of way small cell ordinance. F, license agreement for a lawn sprinkler in the public right of way at 1442 Lathrop. G, proclamation Arbor Day 2018. H, change order number one final for 2017 water main improvement project for $68,141.70 resolution. I, monthly department reports. J, monthly performance measurement report. K, financial report February 2018. L, accounts payable February 2018, $1,364,878.17. M, village administrator's report.
Very good. If you can please take the vote on the consent agenda.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Okay. Item 7, this is a consent item for separate consideration. If I can have a trustee please move and second.
I move to approve invoices from the Economic Development Commission Fund in the amount of $500, Madison Street TIF Fund in the amount of $21,450.80, and the North Avenue TIF Fund in the amount of $1,525.
Okay. I'll second. Any questions, comments regarding this item?
I'm just recusing myself since I have the conflict of interest, common law conflict of interest, since I represent the school district 90 as well as the high school district 200. So I'm going to ask that I not be called for this vote.
Very good. Thank you. Hearing no other further comments or questions, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Conti.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
So next up is the recommendations, boards, commissions, and committees. Maureen, I'm going to go ahead and ask the trustees to move and second the motion. We'll then ask you to come up and have a conversation, and then we'll discuss it and hopefully get to a point of common understanding.
I'll make a motion to pass an ordinance granting a variation for setbacks for the detached garage at 631 Edgewood Avenue.
Second. Okay, very good. Thank you. So would you like to take the podium and kind of explain a little bit, if you'd like, your variance?
My name is Maureen Houston. I live at 631 Edgewood, and I know you have a whole stack of papers about this.
That's all right.
Long process trying to get a garage. Briefly, we have several hardships on the property. Probably the greatest one is the 96-foot span of a power line that eliminates the ability to put a garage anywhere in the rear third of our lot. I worked with ComEd for several months, and they're not going to move the line, and it would be exorbitantly expensive for me to do so privately. So I looked at a number of other alternatives, including a subterranean garage, so below, but I can't do that because of an underground river tributary, apparently, that goes below our house. We looked at a couple attached alternatives, and we either don't have the space, or it would require eliminating all of the windows on the south side of the house, because there's a gable, because of the roof line and the gable, the only way to tie it in would eliminate we have three basically windows and they'd all be eliminated. So after several meetings and meeting with architects and builders, the suggestion was to consider putting a garage in the side yard. One of the issues is we've lost a number of large trees on our lot, so we had three trees. One of the designs was to work around the trees that are there without having to take them down, but because the village required that we had to be able to have two full-size cars in both spaces of the garage, it forced the placement pretty close to the property line. It was closer than I originally wanted to do it, but to meet that requirement. After we met with zoning, they deferred the decision and asked me to come back the following month with some additional drawings. So we brought three more drawings. One was a tandem attached garage on the north side of the house, which was impractical because it would be so narrow because of the proximity of the property line on that side, not to mention probably a real eyesore to the house and to the neighbors. We looked at doing a more angled garage to see if that would make it easier to get in, and I believe it was Traffic and Safety ran some kind of CAD program and did drawings showing that we really couldn't move the garage over for a full-size car. And then the third one was a compromise where we would be able to park a smaller car in the left-hand spot, the more northern spot, closer to the house, by moving it further away from the property line. So zoning didn't really consider that drawing very closely. I'm not really sure why. I think that probably was a misunderstanding on my part in terms of when I could have suggested it. But that drawing is much closer to what I originally wanted to build. It does place the corner of the garage 5 feet from the property line, and the eave would be 3 feet. If I had been on a standard lot, not the seven-sided unusual property I have, mm-hmm. That would satisfy setback, and I wouldn't require a variation. My setback is much wider because I have a relatively shallow but very wide lot, and so because of the 10% rule, it makes my setback considerably wider. So D1, the drawing, that other drawing that they didn't really consider, they actually voted on the A1 drawing, and again, that was probably my error in not mm-hmm. making clear what I was hoping to do. But D1 is actually not only satisfies the typical side yard setback, but it also, although it's not 10 feet from the existing building, it is more than 5 feet. Mm-hmm. So we would be able to, I guess you can have an exception to the building code by putting in some sort of fire protection and insulation. And it would allow access to, mm-hmm. right. you know, ready access to the cars and would move it over. So I'm hoping that that you will consider allowing yeah. a variation so that I can, it would actually eliminate one variation from my application. I wouldn't need the less than 5 feet and eave less than 3 feet. So okay. it would take one out. Off, but the other two would remain. So.
Okay. So right now before us is the one that the zoning board denied. So it sounds like you would consider an alternative one that, not the A1, the D1, that
correct,
which might satisfy, like you said, some of the variance issues and maybe even some of the neighbors' issues. Even though it might have to take down a tree, but I think it right. gives you some leeway. And there's certainly, you know, you are definitely kind of trapped with the ComEd issue going on. So, and I know you've all have had conversations, and you know the thing that we try to prevent is trying to solve it here, because that's what the zoning board does, and that's what Lisa and Cliff will do for us. But what we try to do is give you a fair and equitable, presentation to to our board as well as the zoning board. So. And it sounds like you're prepared to offer back to the zoning board and say, listen, D1 I could live with, and I hope that you all could live with, given all the constraints I have with that piece of property. Unless somebody else wants to have it. That's what I'm hearing Maureen say, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Would that come back then again to us?
Yes. So, well, I did have a conversation with Lisa and Cliff this morning just to make sure I understood the process. And if we as a board say we do want to help Maureen out, we want to give you a garage, you ought to have a garage, two-car garage. That's better than a one-car garage anyway. So how do we get there so, you're not, that there's compromises, but we can get there. And the best way to do it is remand it back to the zoning board, so that... that you have another discussion with the zoning board with the D1 plan, work with our staff, Lisa and Cliff, right. to kind of get that right, and have them discuss the D1, knowing that the A1 is now off the table. And unfortunately, there's a process there, but I think we're all committed to, when I say process, meaning we have to now have another public hearing, we have to get it in the newspaper, there's other, by law, there's things we have to do. But I think the staff is very sensitive to your situation, Maureen, that you've been working this for a very long time, and you'd like to get to a conclusion, and you'd like to build your garage. So, we're going to try to move that process along for you within reason. And I don't want to speak to the staff, but I think that's what you told me. So, Unless, go ahead, I mean, I don't know if anybody has any further questions.
I went by your house yesterday, it's a strange lot.
Yes, it is.
I couldn't even figure out really, from looking at your lot, where the garage was gonna go. So I had to consult back, go back and forth. But in looking at D1, if you were to take out that tree, the tree that would now be behind the garage, would you need any variation at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's impossible to build a detached garage anywhere on the lot without a variation.
Right.
It's I mean, even a one car, it turns out, I'd have to have a variation.
The operative word is
no place.
You're right, absolutely right.
No place to build it.
Because of the constraints of the comment.
Okay, great.
Taking the tree out would make the driveway straighter and make access easier, but it doesn't really change the possible locations of the garage. It's very, very limited.
Okay.
So literally, I have like 2 feet in one way or the other that I could go. So I went as far away from the fence as I can go without running into other building issues with, light, air, ventilation, losing windows, fire problems, I guess.
When you say, I was getting lost in the directions, when you say the east side of the building, are you talking about the rear of the building?
No, this is on the...
The yard where I would put the garage I'm referring to is south. It's actually not, it's offset kind of, yeah, so it's not actually directly north-south, but it's the southerly, the side yard where I would
to
put the garage is southerly,
yeah,
right. Where the porch is, the porch. Yes. Existing porch.
So in your proposal, when you go back to the zoning board, you're going to say you'd be willing to eliminate that one tree to make your driveway?
If I need to, but it's kind of irrelevant, I guess. I mean, it doesn't change the location of the garage.
No,
I mean, it would change. I could change the shape of the driveway.
Well, because one of the concerns, I guess, from your neighbors was just sight lines with the driveway. So that was just one of the concerns. I know you rebutted a lot of the things that they said.
I mean,
but it's
everything
seems like it's right on top of each other in that little
square. Also, one of his first arguments against a garage was that it would force me to remove trees. So,
I think it would make it a lot easier for you to maneuver, please, the neighbor.
But
so then would you eliminate, right now you have a drive on the, I guess we could consider that the north side.
The southern edge?
No, the existing would remain, or I don't think I'm allowed to keep it.
It would go back to permeable
green space.
Okay.
And then with respect to our codes on water mitigation and grading, I mean, obviously you still need to have some grading permit issues with this, regardless of where this, even with the garage in the location.
We would require grading review as part of the building permit submittal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Honestly, that's
so just for the sake of process, all of this was submitted to Mr. Martin's committee, right?
The Zoning Board of Appeals was called to contemplate, I think it was A1. That was what the public notice was noted for. There were other plans that were submitted during the course of the process in response to some of the questions and comments that they had.
But just for the sake of tonight's discussion, D1 was not considered by them at the time? Or because I'm wondering how, long story short, how it ended up in our packet if they didn't see it. And if they did see it.
You can answer, but I do think they saw it. The way it works, Mike, is just like ours. You know, you have a motion up before you and you up and down it, right?
Right.
I think the zoning has the same, process where, if this is what you want, then come in and talk about what you want. And I think that lies where probably the issue is that if you had an opportunity to say, well, if you don't like this one, how about this one?
Well, I wanted that originally, but they said they wouldn't be able to approve it because it wouldn't necessarily accommodate 2 full-size cars. But after they saw the issues with the one that did accommodate, they thought that would be the lesser of the evils. And so this was submitted in response to their, they asked for 3 additional drawings.
Yeah.
One with it at an angle, one the tandem on the north side of the house attached, and this one that was farther from the property line. So, however, they did only vote on A1, which I'm not sure, I guess I didn't really understand how I could have had them vote on this one, because it wasn't the original application, that's true. But they sort of agreed that they would relax the rule in favor of it, so.
Yeah, I'll look to Lisa to explain since you were there.
Sounds like they asked for it.
Sorry, I don't mean to put you on the.
I've listened to the audio, I worked through the minutes, I'm trying to recall some of the discussion, and when the ZBA, the DRB, and other bodies that deal with our zoning ordinance are presented with an issue, they're asked what application they're voting on. They're asked what petition they're voting on. The petition they were asked to vote on was the original plan. If it's a miscommunication or something like that, I think the best way to deal with it is to have them consider the issue in a public forum where everyone has the same opportunity to comment as they would on the original plan. But they were asked to vote on the original plan. And so that's what you have as a recommendation on that. And I don't want to presume what their recommendation officially would have been on any other application.
Right. Yeah. I think that's understandable.
I just ask one more question, yep. Just to be clear, because there was this drawing will meet the single-story garage height requirement, because there was like a back and forth about whether it was two-story or not. So that's my question.
I never applied for two-story. It was always within the ordinance requirements. The neighbor, I don't know where he got the idea it was two-story or. I don't know. That was a mistake. Okay. It was never out of compliance.
I thought it was because your drawing had a window above the garage door and it gave the impression. I'm thinking maybe that's why the person thought it was going to be a second floor.
Is it standard height for garages?
Off the top of my head, I don't know what the standard height is. I do know that they didn't require a variation or that would have been.
So this
it's 18 feet from street elevation. And that would be the maximum. Right, okay. So the structure itself would be shorter than that because the yard is higher, but.
And then the other question I have is, I know the HPC reviewed this because it is visible from the street, it's historic. Would this comply with, do they have to look at this again, or how would that work?
No,
it's.
Well, since it's detached, it would fall within their purview.
All right.
Okay.
So we're good.
Yeah, no, my recommendation is we remand it back to the zoning. We get them this D1, this what you want to vote on, all the information that we can. We've asked the administration, to, within your power and within legal restrictions, to move this along, because there are dates that we have to meet. And try to get you a garage.
It'd be awesome.
That's the goal. But it's just going to take maybe, I don't know how many more weeks. I don't know if it will hit the next meeting, but maybe next meeting after that.
I'm sorry, that's close to the microphone. the regularly scheduled meeting.
What was your question, Mike?
When's the next meeting?
May 3rd is the next regularly scheduled meeting. And if we get notice out by the end of this week, we can just squeak in for that meeting.
Yeah, which we're going to do.
Yeah, because I've talked to Cliff about it, and if that's the decision of the village board, we can certainly make that happen.
So the village board is going to ask them for their opinion on D1.
Yeah.
We need to change this
And
motion.
If there's any other application that Ms. Houston wants to have considered, I would say let's talk about that and make sure we notice it up properly.
I don't know.
So
that
we are considering whatever plan she wants to put forth.
This should be the final.
Yeah, my understanding from Cliff, actually, is this is pretty much, within a couple feet of where I started, there really isn't anything else.
Right.
That this is the least of the variation I would require. It's the least offensive
and then
the closest I can come to not needing a variation. There just isn't really an alternative.
When's our next meeting after May 3rd?
Yeah, we looked at this earlier. I think Lisa, they have to vote on it, and then I think we looked at it. It's
your meeting is May 14th, but there is a notice requirement to the neighbors before you're able to hear the matter.
Right.
How much time?
I'd have to go back and look at the ordinance.
7 or 10 days.
Yeah. And it, we do also, for your information, I mean, we can do it as quickly as possible, but there are typically findings of fact that are prepared and reviewed by the attorney, and also meeting minutes that are prepared and reviewed, not just by the attorney, but also by the chairman. And if they don't adopt them that night, then I would be sending you draft items that haven't been officially approved. So we can accommodate it. We will do the very best we can to move this thing along as quickly as we will be able to move it. And get it back to you as quickly as possible.
So the best, the 14th, maybe the worst. 21st. The problem is we don't have one after maybe June.
Unless you move up a meeting in May to the 21st, since we're not going to have one at the end of the month.
Well, we can look at it.
So we need to, Greg, what do we need to do with the motion?
The village code says that in this instance you may, quote, refer the report back to the ZBA for further consideration. So it would just be an amendment of your motion to refer it back.
So, Mike, you, I think, moved and Susan seconded. So with your approval and...
I'll amend my motion to refer D1 back to...
Oh, yeah. Now? Or should I let them... I'm going to let them finish.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay.
But please amend your
motion. Yeah, I'll amend my motion to refer D1 back to zoning.
Okay.
Susan.
So, okay, very good. You can step to the podium and state your name. I don't know who.
Yeah, Houston.
Good evening. My name is Kevin Duran. I'm sorry, I don't know if there was a sign-in sheet.
Yes, there was.
To speak,
but
so
go ahead and you can just, okay. We'll have it on the audio.
Thank you for hearing me. I'm the neighbor in question to this. We keep saying south and east and west, and it's where we live, it's kind of funky. So I'm the neighbor to the left, if you're kind of looking northish. My comments and my opposition to the original plan and the amended plan are well noted in the very thick packet, and I appreciate the board, both here and the zoning board, taking the time to go through in detail. It's pretty impressive as a resident, the lengths to which everybody goes to understand the issues and to really come to a compromise. So I appreciate you hearing me out here and to the zoning board back then. I also applaud Ms. Houston's desire and willingness to seek alternative plans. I would I have opposed Ms. Houston's plan. It's not out of a desire to be cantankerous or to be a bad neighbor. My concerns, at least with the original plan being so close to the property line, are well documented in the packet. I have a safety concern. I also have just a concern as a neighbor of having a large structure right next to our property line and impinging right there on our driveway. So what I have not seen D1 until today. I didn't know that was under advisement or under consideration, I should say. And what I would say to the board in terms of you know, it seems like you're going to refer back that drawing to the zoning board, and that's certainly reasonable. What I had said in our last meeting at the zoning board was, you know, we had explored, Ms. Houston had explored at the zoning board's request and at our urging, alternate plans, whether that's a tandem garage on the other side. The zoning board ultimately felt that the opposition lodged by the neighbors on Ms. Houston's other side were essentially the same as ours. It's a sight line issue, there's a safety issue, and it's close to the property line. So they sort of zeroed out those both considerations because I think in a measure of fairness that one neighbor's concern shouldn't be more important than the others. And the last time that we were before the zoning board, what I had said to them, and I'll say to you again, I appreciate Ms. Houston's efforts. I think she should have a garage. I don't want to deny her that. We have an irregularly shaped lot, as does Ms. Houston, as does everybody on that curve. But what I had said, and I think the zoning board echoed the sentiment, was if you cut down this tree on the plot, are we having this discussion? And I know how the community feels about trees. I don't want to cut down a tree if you don't have to. But in essence, what I see in through all of the submissions here is that something's got to give. There's a variation that needs to happen. But in each and every one of the plans, and I've even gone through with the ruler and done the square of what the garage would be, every foot that garage is moved back, maybe it's not a situation that's perfect, where a variance or a variation wouldn't be required, but there's less of a variation that's needed with every step that you put back. I know the problems with the power lines are there. I can't really speak to what ComEd will and won't do. I know that Ms. Houston has had extensive conversations with them. I know my garage, which actually was constructed by Ms. Houston some time ago, main power line is like within 36 inches. So I don't know if it's an issue of ComEd picking and choosing when it wants to enforce its rules or not. But I do recognize the hardships that are there in terms of trying to keep the character of the house, to get a two-car garage, to fulfill one zoning requirement while also keeping the integrity of your backyard, all of those things that we as homeowners and property owners in the village want to maintain. And I guess what I would, the last thing I want to do is go back to the zoning board with Ms. Houston, who's my neighbor, and oppose yet another attempt at her to compromise. So what I would say in terms of looking at D1, this is the first time I've seen it too, it certainly helps to start addressing those issues, but I don't think it goes far enough. What Commissioner Burney at the zoning board had said and the members there had contemplated was, if you cut down a tree or two, we're not having this discussion. We're not having, I wouldn't say acrimony, but we're not having the resistance that we're having right now. And D1, as it stands right now, still contemplates the preservation of all of the trees. So, in essence,
it takes out the back one.
No, it doesn't.
There's two on the front.
No, the back one was
this one.
That
was
my question.
Yeah, that was.
That driveway is going to move over.
Okay, what about the one in the back?
That's going to stay.
Okay, so that's really, I guess, the.
So, can you take the tree off or not?
There's two in the front.
Correct. I'm talking about the back.
The one in the back? I don't know if you saw in the backyard at all, Rez.
I did not. I'm just going by what's the drawing.
I
D1.
Property lines.
It,
I
it falls off.
I have a picture.
The okay.
Back half of her property is literally 3 feet lower than his property right next door.
Okay, so the furthest back you put.
The further the garage goes back, the further down the slope of the pitch of the backyard goes. So now we're getting into water issues with where's all that water going to go if the property is built up to put a garage to get it off the line. So literally the garage now in D1 lines up with the back of the house from an architectural straight line point of view.
Okay.
With every step you take further to the back of the lot, it goes down about 6 inches.
Okay.
So if you go all the way to the back line of the property, you're 3 feet lower than if you were standing where the new garage is going to be.
Right. So they're in light, and some they're in light.
So that opens up a whole
Dan,
new can of worms.
Right. Dan,
with,
I'm sorry.
What to do with the water?
Kevin.
Kevin, I'm sorry.
Couldn't catch your name. Sorry, Kevin. So that's the problem, Kevin. And we're not going to try to solve it at this table. What we're trying to say
certainly
to you and Maureen is that we want you to work it out. We are neighbors. We're a small community. You know, we see each other in the stores. I mean, this is something that I think needs to be worked out. And I think D1 is possibly the compromise that's going between how close it is to your home and how far she can actually go. So, you know, maybe it could be slightly modified. I don't know. Maybe. But that's what we would like you guys to work.
Oh, certainly. And I appreciate you. Yep. This board taking the time to go through it all with us, and in terms of what trees stay and what don't, you know, I'm looking at D1 and all the other, I don't know what stays and goes based on the plan.
Right.
The original plan that we saw was a front plan, and that's where I had the confusion that these two trees are taken out to put this, what I had assumed and what was told to me by zoning at the notice was, well, it's essentially at the, you know, at the front of the house. Well, you know, that wasn't the original plan. Now we're on this one. And so I guess my piece, and I will I will conclude, would be that this would still, you know, be on that property line. The putting a garage where it's at in D1 or where that back tree is, I think would still require an issue of grading, and that's something I think Ms. Houston wants for her property as a whole to be
properly
leveled
graded
out and regraded, and nobody wants to flood, and that's the big boogeyman in town. So I would urge the board to recommend, I don't know which part of the packet here it is, but the resolution accepting the zoning board's recommendation from March and denying the variance. I think as a matter of process and procedure, that's what will happen anyway with the additional recommendation to explore a different
So what's going to happen, Kevin, is that we amended the motion to say that Maureen and we'll go back, remand it back to the zoning board where she will discuss an alternative drawing to hope to minimize certainly any issues that you have as a neighbor, as well as, you know, she's going to need a variance of some type because of the unusualness of that property. And like, as Mike mentioned, you know, the grading issue of the back end. So the question begins, you know, what needs to be solved is the variance that she is going to be requesting hopefully can, you know, you can compromise a little bit as well.
Absolutely. I just, and from my own understanding, the board will be recommending remanding this decision based on D1, this newly submitted.
Well, right. That's our suggestion.
That's your suggestion. That's something
Maureen
that's
might
go.
Say, you know, I'm going to draw up with something a little different than that, that's, you know, similar, maybe better. I'm going to leave it up to Maureen and the zoning, but our hope is that what you present to zoning is something that you all can live with, and zoning is going to probably have to discuss the variance because it will be a variance, and our hope is that they approve the variance so that it won't ever come back for us, to us.
I appreciate
that's the hope.
No, it's still going to come back.
Right, well, I meant back. Like for...
You just hope we don't come back.
No, no, I'd love you to come back anytime you want. But I mean, coming back, because, you know, that would be easier.
And the zoning board and the village board as a whole has to take the question that's presented, I guess.
That's correct.
Okay. So that's the suggestion is that
that's correct.
This is the one that's presented.
Right. That's correct. And that's why we changed the motion to amend it back to the zoning tonight. So
thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm confident that you all will work together. Okay, so now that's the motion on the table. If there's not any further questions or comments on that particular motion and the amendment that Mike and Susan made, then I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote on that amended motion.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Okay.
Good luck.
Good luck, and call Lisa tomorrow first thing. All right. Thank you, Maureen. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it. All right. Moving on. So we are at unfinished business. Let me get my bearings here for a minute. So we're going to need a motion to authorize 10A, 1, I guess, and 10A,
2. I'll move to approve a resolution authorizing a real estate purchase and sales contract for 10 Lakers Avenue, River Forest, Illinois, for the amount of $330,000.
Okay. Can we list them together, or should we do them separate?
I would keep these.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, Trustee Card, you made the motion. Did I hear a second? Okay, thank you. Okay, so Eric, do you want to just update the board one last time before we take a vote?
Sure, absolutely. Before you tonight is a contract to purchase a single-family home at 10 Lathrop. This home is within the Madison Street TIF district, and so what you'll be doing tonight is authorizing the purchase. As we discussed previously, the village has looked at properties in the Madison Street TIF district as they come for sale voluntarily. As options to control the property for future and strategic development options. So this is one of those parcels. In the short term, the village will look to hold the parcel and then potentially also rent it out as a house. And so we're in the process of securing a housing inspection on that property to review that. And so we'll report back on that at a later date. But this would approve the purchase at $330,000. We would close hopefully by the end of May. The second item is a loan to loan money to the TIF fund from the general fund reserve in the amount of $340,000. We put a little extra on that to allow for closing costs and things of that nature. And then, as we've pointed out previously, as money starts to generate into the TIF district, hopefully out of the 2017 reassessment especially, those funds will be repaid back to the village. And then your budget that we talked about previously will have an amendment attached to it to allow for this expense in fiscal year 2019.
Okay. Any comments, questions regarding this?
Just once again, I'm recusing myself from this vote for the common law conflict of interest I have because my firm represents the two school districts.
Yes,
thank you. So I asked the clerk not to call me.
Will TIF fund be paying interest on that loan?
Yes.
What just what is the statutory rate or what's the rate?
What did we set that in?
10-year.
Oh, so it's just a variable rate, whatever.
From Bloomberg, yeah.
Okay,
thanks. Okay. Any further questions or comments from the board? Okay, Susan, if you'd like.
I'm sorry, I wasn't
here. No worries. Go ahead. I just wanted to make sure we got the board first. So feel free.
Hi, Susan Altier, 12 Ashland. But I'm actually here just reading a statement from Maureen Gorman at 11 Ashland because she was not able to come.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Maureen's comments. I appreciate your keeping the residents within the TIF apprised of the village's actions. I also appreciate the village board's efforts to redevelop the Madison Street commercial corridor. As you know, I live at 11 Ashland Avenue in River Forest, Illinois. My house is adjacent to LCFS that the village purchased recently, and I share an alleyway with 10 Lathrop, which the village proposes to purchase. I did not object to the village's purchase of LCFS because it is a commercial building along the commercial corridor. However, I respectfully object to the village's purchase of 10 Lathrop. I believe it violates the Madison Street TIF ordinance and local laws. As you know, Illinois law provides no redevelopment plan shall be adopted unless a municipality complies with all the following requirements. Two, the municipality finds that the redevelopment plan and project conform to the comprehensive plan for the development of the municipality as a whole, or for municipalities with a population of 100,000 or more, regardless of when the redevelopment plan and project was adopted, the redevelopment plan and project either, one, conforms to the strategic economic development or redevelopment plan issued by the designated planning authority of the municipality, or two, includes land uses that have been approved by the Planning Commission of the municipality. 65 ILCS 511.74.4-3, the Madison Street TIF must and does comport with the village's comprehensive plan. I ask you to review page 28 of the corridor plan approved in 2010 under former President John Regas and the board at that time, and she has attached that and she's going to be sending it to Eric. The board in 2010 included current President Catherine M. Aducci and current board members Susan J. Conti and Michael W. Gibbs. As the current board has previously noted on many occasions, the corridor plans are addenda to the current 2003 comprehensive plan. According to the plan, the village should not provide incentives for or assist in any way with the acquisition or consolidation of adjacent residential properties for purposes of commercial expansion along the perimeter corridors. Because the purchase of residential property adjacent to the commercial area on Madison Street is not contemplated and in fact prohibited by the current village comprehensive plan, it is not legally appropriate for the village to purchase residential property or assist in any way with the purchase of such property. Because 10 Lathrop is a residential property adjacent to the Madison Street commercial corridor, the village should not purchase the property or provide any incentives for commercial expansion into the residential area along the Madison Street corridor. I believe purchasing such property violates both the spirit and letter of the Madison Street TIF, the village's comprehensive plan, and the sense of the village residents at large. I respectfully request that you withdraw any effort to purchase 10 Lathrop. I also respectfully request that these public comments and the 2010 quarter plan be entered into the records and notes for this village board meeting. Sincerely, Maureen Beacom Gordon.
Thank you. I don't know if we want, if there's any, want to address any of those things, if any of you want to address it, Craig.
I guess my question is, the corridor study is not a comprehensive plan, is it?
Yeah.
The corridor study is part, it's considered an overlay on your comprehensive plan. It was referred to in the TIF planning documents on Madison Street, and it'll be part of the North Avenue as well. But the comprehensive plan is under review and revision at this time, and the village is not proposing commercial redevelopment on this property. It's a strategic acquisition that potentially in the short term will continue in its residential use. You also have the ability, of course, to amend your comprehensive plan if you determine that it should be changed in this regard. So there's no legal impediment to you acquiring this property.
That's what I thought. Otherwise, we would have gotten a different opinion from our village attorney. So any further questions or comments on this? Hearing none, I think we'll ask the clerk to please take the roll call. I mean the vote.
Trustee Conte. Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Landlord business, right?
Huh?
Welcome to the landlord business.
Yeah. Okay, so now we've got item number two, which is the second motion of 10. If I can get a trustee to please move and second the 10A2.
I move to pass an ordinance authorizing a loan from the Village General Fund to the Madison Street Tax Increment Financing Fund for $340,000.
Second.
Okay. Yeah, this is pretty self-explanatory, but I don't know if you want to just...
No, as stated previously, this is a loan from the General Fund Reserve to the TIF Fund, as we've done for other expenses, including the Lutheran Family Services purchase, and this will be reimbursed back to the General Fund as... those TIF dollars start to flow into the fund.
Right. Self-explanatory. Okay, very good. Any questions, comments? Hearing none.
Just the same.
Yes.
As in the previous vote, I'm recusing myself, yep. And I asked the clerk not to call me.
Okay.
Trustee Hennick.
Yes.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Cargi.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Okay, thank you so much. We're going to move on to item B, and this is a discussion we've had regarding the opiate epidemic that's plaguing our nation. So this particular motion is, I need a trustee to move and second to authorize us to execute a retention agreement with Edelson PC in litigation regarding the opiate epidemic resolution. So if I can get and we can talk a little bit about it.
Okay.
And get a motion and a second.
I move to approve a resolution executing a retention agreement with Edelson PC and litigation regarding the opiate epidemic.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, very good. So I don't know if there's any further discussion. Again, I know you've had some conversations with Edelson and maybe for the benefit of, I think you two, I know Susan wasn't here and you listened. Is there anything you want to add that we haven't already talked about?
Just as background, there's hundreds of units of government across the nation that have sued the manufacturers and distributors of opioids, which are mostly high-powered pain medicines. That's what they're known as, pharmaceuticals, because of the public taxpayer funds that have been spent treating both overdoses, thefts, employee addictions, and things like that relating to opioids. There is currently pending in the federal court in Ohio a single consolidated case of all these hundreds of cases brought by different units of government, and the village will be joining that litigation because it itself has experienced some taxpayer-funded expenditures relating to these matters. So the village will be joining other area communities, including the City of Chicago, Cook County, as well as more local communities, which have spent taxpayer funds that are hoped to be and should be compensable from the makers and distributors of these opioids.
This won't cost the village.
It's a pure contingency arrangement with the Edelson Law Firm.
Right.
They will forward expenses that would be deducted if a recovery is made, only in the event if a recovery is made.
Craig, do you know any other municipalities that Edelson has signed up or represents?
Reportedly, the of the West Central Municipal Conference, which the village is a part of, something like 80 to 90% of those communities have signed up with Edelson.
Because I do know that Cook, he has Cook County as one of the plaintiffs.
Yeah, so. And Chicago.
And this is pretty open-ended. I mean, I don't think you could put a date certain on here, but this could go on for a long period of time.
That's correct. There was another article published in the last week or two in the Washington Post or New York Times about how the judge presiding over the consolidated federal case is pushing for settlement this year, he said, in 2018. So if you keep an eye on the headlines, the judge is hoping for something this year to begin to coalesce.
Right.
Craig, do you envision any downside to this resolution?
No.
Okay, very good. I don't see any downside either, given the epidemic that we see in our nation. So I will go ahead and ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Gibbs.
Yes.
Trustee Corsini.
Yes.
Trustee Carchi.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Conte.
Yes.
Trustee Hennig.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, and now up next is, and there's no motion here, just announcement of our TIF process, so progress. So I'll let you, Eric, go ahead and take the floor.
Okay, very good. Thank you. So tonight we're making an announcement that the availability of the North Avenue TIF redevelopment project and plan, the eligibility study and housing impact study are available for public inspection. So those are available on the village's website at www.vrf.us/north-tif, and then the second part of that, and available here at Village Hall if someone would prefer a paper copy. I don't think anyone comes in for paper copies anymore, but it's here if you need it. In addition to that, the public housing impact meeting has been set for Tuesday, April 24th. That's going to be at 7:00 p.m. in the Willard School Auditorium at 1250 Ashland Avenue here in River Forest. Notice of that went out on Friday to all the affected owners within the residents, excuse me, thank you, both residents and the
taxpayers.
And the taxpayers of record within the TIF district. So that went out on Friday. They would receive those notices, and then that meeting will take place on the 24th. So again, no action from the village board tonight, just a public recital of that information.
Okay, that's good. Good progress. I thank you and your staff. I know there's a lot of work to that. So we have no executive session, so unless there's any further comments and questions from the trustees or clerk, I'd ask somebody to adjourn the meeting and second it.
I'll move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.